we use a wearable neurotech device to read the brain in real time and intercept it in real time with something called neurostimulation. And so that's using sound or light or vibration or electricity to stimulate the brain. And when we do that, we can actually guide the brain precisely. And that leads to a behavior change. So like a drug, but much smarter and without the side effects.
Can you deliver medical treatment by changing brainwaves instead of injecting drugs? Hello and welcome to Tech First. My name, of course, is John Gutzier. Elon Musk has implanted his first Neuralink into a human patient. But can we get neurotech medical treatment without drilling holes in our skulls? Maybe. According to Elamind, a startup with roots in MIT, we can, and they say they can read your brainwaves, manipulate them, and fix issues like sleep disorders, tremors, pain, as well as speeding up learning. Today, we're chatting with Meredith Perry, the CEO and former NASA astrobiology researcher, plus David Wang, Dr. David Wang, co-founder and CTO, who has a PhD in AI from MIT. Welcome, both of you.
So nice to be here, John. Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Super pumped to have you. Meredith, are you sure you didn't bring something back from outer space?
I've never been to outer space. But I'd love to bring something back for you if I ever get the privilege to go.
Give us the big picture. What does Elamind do?
So Elamind is a neurotech health company, and we've developed a wearable device that's going to allow you to optimize and improve your health without the use of drugs. So let me give you some context. So as we know, healthcare today is reactive, it's blunt, it's largely dependent on pharmaceuticals. And while pharmaceuticals can often be effective, we also know that they can sometimes be addictive and they can have negative side effects. So our co-founders and I have spent the last 4.5 years developing a way to achieve the same effects of drugs, but without chemicals and without side effects. And this approach we call electric medicine. So with electric medicine, we use a wearable neurotech device to read the brain in real time and intercept it in real time with something called neurostimulation. And so that's using sound or light or vibration or electricity to stimulate the brain. And when we do that, we can actually guide the brain precisely. And that leads to a behavior change. So like a drug, but much smarter and without the side effects. And there's a lot other cool things that we can do once you have the, once you can insert AI and machine learning and use sensors to be able to even see whether or not something like this is working in the body.
So when I'm listening to what you're saying, the picture that comes into my mind is something like some deep sea helmet that I wear on my head. It's got sensors, it senses my brain waves, and then it's got all kinds of equipment on there to influence them. What is it actually?
So it is a very simple form factor. When you think of an EEG device, what comes to mind might be some sort of helmet with tons of wires. We have made a very sleek, low-profile form factor of something that looks somewhat like a headband that has a suite of sensors that's reading what's going on inside your brain and inside your body. And we use all of that information to let us know when to stimulate and how to precisely guide the brain to to achieve the desired outcome.
Is that something like a Muse headband, maybe?
Well, today we're not going to be talking specifically about our the form factor that we're going to market with, but it is a headband wearable, and it will be comfortable and flexible and low profile and easy to move around or sleep with or whatever you might be interested in doing with it.
Interesting hint. You can sleep with it. That seems to indicate it is soft, or at least somewhat soft. Okay, I won't dig too much farther on there. I appreciate you'll show it to me when you're ready. That's great. David, maybe let's bring you into the conversation. How the heck does this thing work?
How it works has been the focus of our work for the past 5 years or so. Core of Elamind's technology is the ability to predict when a biological oscillation is going to reach its peak or reach its trough or any phase in between. And with this ability to predict what a biological oscillation can do, we then have the ability to intercede. And Meredith just listed all the different stimulation strategies we can use. But fundamentally, you can go back to maybe freshman physics. We are doing constructive and deconstructive interference on your brainwaves. What makes our technology really interesting, though, is the method in which we do stimulation doesn't need to be the same electrochemical language that your brain speaks. Fortunately, your brain is wired to all these fantastic sensors all around your body. And so if we stimulate those sensors through light, sound, touch, we can then drive your brain to, in a sense, impact, affect itself and neuromodulate to change how other brain waves within your brain are being generated.
Super fascinating. First of all, you're a funny guy. You're talking about going back to my undergraduate physics education, which doesn't exist. But secondly, it's really interesting that to impact the brain, you don't need to make electrical changes upon the brain per se. You simply need to present stimuli to the brain via our normal natural senses. And the brain then somehow reacts in how it interprets, and that makes the desired changes.
Precisely.
So, John, you can think about it kind of like noise cancellation for the brain. So, you know, to give you more context, the brain is an electrochemical organ, and we can measure brainwave activity on the outside of the brain using something called an EEG. So David talked about biological oscillations. A brainwave is a biological oscillation, and different brain states are characterized by different frequencies of brainwaves. And so, you know, if you're alert, it's going to be one frequency. If you're tired and sleepy, it's going to be another frequency. If you're focused, it's going to be another frequency. And what we've learned is that by stimulating at certain times relative to the brain waves, we can speed up certain frequencies, we can slow them down, we can amplify or suppress them. This is what neuromodulation is. And we've found that by changing the brain waves themselves, we can actually change the state that someone's in.
Again, fascinating. Really, really cool. You've really got me wondering about the form factor here. I know you're not talking about that. I'm wondering if it's like a Muse or maybe the Neurosity from the Crown Neurosity device. We'll see when that comes out. Talk a little bit about how effective it is. You've done, I believe, three published studies. You've probably done a lot more work on it. How effective is this? If my pain is a 10, can you reduce it to a 3? If I'm having trouble learning, how much can you speed that up? What kind of effectiveness data do you have?
Yeah, it's a great question. So we've done studies in a variety of different areas, which is really cool about our technology. It is quite broadly applicable. So let's see, within the area of sleep, we've studied over 100 subjects. We've recorded over 2.5 years worth of sleeping data from them. And we've shown in the particular case of sleep that we can help people fall asleep significantly faster. For about 73% of our subjects, about 30% faster, which is huge. We've also been working with all sorts of fantastic academic collaborators. Let's see, from the University of Washington, we have really amazing work that shows that we can increase someone's tolerance to pain, in this case, the temperature threshold, quite significantly, if we stimulate at the correct time. Work from Leuven and McGill University has shown that we can improve learning and response times by, again, stimulating at the correct time. There's really a lot of cool stuff we can do. Oh, and I neglected to mention, we have a fantastic paper in Nature about 2 years ago at this point that shows with a different form of stimulation. So in this case, so electrodes placed on top of the scalp, that we have the ability to reduce tremors as well. So for people with physiological shaking, we can reduce the amplitude by about 50%. With really less than a minute of stimulation.
That's huge, because for people who have that, that can be completely debilitating, not able to do anything. It's really interesting to me personally about the pain thing, because I've been told by 3 doctors that I have a high pain tolerance. And I don't know, I just have this switch I can flip in my brain. I still feel the pain, but I can stop caring about it. I don't know if your device works that way or how it works.
That's powerful.
But that is something really interesting. How long a treatment is required? Do you get instant impact? Does it take minutes? I mean, you talked about in terms of sleep, you talked about speeding up by 30% the time that it took for them to get to sleep. Typically, if there's something like tremors or other things, and it may be different for different conditions, what's the treatment time period like?
So first of all, with sleep, while we said 30%, that's actually just the average. So we actually see people fall asleep up to 76% faster. But the average for that group is 30%. So it really can make an enormous difference. The effect, the timing of the effect depends on the application. With tremor, you can actually see a video. I think we showed you a video, or we can send that of somebody using Elamine to suppress their tremor. And you can actually see the impact instantaneously. And after 30 seconds of stimulation, we see the effect actually grows, but it's instantaneous. With sleep, you're not falling asleep instantly. We are accelerating the time that it takes for you to fall asleep. And so, you know, if you normally take 30 minutes to fall asleep, we might help you fall asleep in 15 minutes. With the pain, in that example, the study that we did, we were amplifying the delta waves that are associated with deep sleep, and we could amplify the sedative effect of an anesthetic. And so we saw that instantaneously too. We were able to effectively, as David mentioned, put higher temperature against someone's skin. And when you were able to combine Elamine with the anesthesia, people would not arouse from that pain, which indicates that we would be able to actually give people less drug if they were undergoing anesthesia.
Love it, love it, love it. The scientist is telling me the 30% average. The CEO who's already planning the brochure says up to 70%. Makes total sense.
Well, and of course, can't leave money on the table, John. The facts are facts.
Absolutely. And I shouldn't say the scientist, because you were both scientists, so that was inappropriate, but I totally get it. Now, is this going to be a medical device? Is this going to be something that you have to get prescribed for and maybe used in a medical scenario under supervision, or will it be off the shelf, buy it at a drugstore, use it at home?
So the first product that we go to market with is going to be a consumer wellness product. It's not going to be a medical device. It's not going to be FDA approved. And it's going to be focused on a wellness application. But moving forward, where we see ourselves going in the future, we will have form factors and models that will be medical devices and will treat medical issues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you've been in stealth since 2019. I mean, like, that's a decent length of time. It's a hardware startup, so that's not easy and takes time. And it's also cutting edge. It's new technology that you're inventing. So that takes time. And by the way, there's been immense advances in AI in that whole period of time. And you guys use AI to understand the brain and then implement your treatments. So that's interesting. It's also been a crazy period to be in stealth. You take the COVID and lockdown and shutdown and then return and all that stuff. What's the next few steps? What's the next couple of years look like for you?
So a number of months, we're going to be announcing our first consumer product, and it's going to focus on one application that we've conducted clinical trials on that we've been successful with. So a large focus of the company is going to move in that one direction. But after that, our grand vision for this company is to ultimately be an app store for the brain, where you can effectively download a treatment like you download an app from an app store, or download a brain state like you download an app from an app store. And beyond that, our technology has capabilities that go far beyond just treatment. So when you're wearing something for a significant period of time that has biosensors on it, we can detect or diagnose in real time with the assistance of AI and machine learning whether or not you have an issue. You know, perhaps you've had a stroke, or perhaps you're having a seizure, or we see that you are anxious or potentially have signs of mild cognitive impairment. That's something that we're going to be able to tell people. And with the use of AI, we've also developed a tool that's going to allow us to learn over time what stimulation protocols will optimize the person's state the fastest. And so the concept and the vision here is to be able to develop individualized treatments for different people, for their different conditions, to allow them to be the most optimized versions of themselves at any given time for whatever those disorders are.
Wow. The mind kind of explodes here because, of course, the whole quantified self comes into play here a little bit, right? And when we saw fitness trackers, right? The Fitbit was one of the first big ones that came out there. And so I've interviewed somebody who says they're introducing the Fitbit for your blood and you can test like a drop of blood and it was not the one that was a scan. It was more recent than that, and see, you know, just what's happening in terms of what changes are your diet is impacting everything. You almost think of this as like a Fitbit for the brain or for the mind, and you almost wonder, will the wearable become something that has fashion aspects so that you could wear it full time if you wanted to? Perhaps if you're a high risk individual, you've had strokes in the past or something like that, and you want instant awareness of when you're going to have, you might have very early signs of one, so you can do something about it. Wow, maybe you can build into something like a headband or glasses or something. Very interesting.
Absolutely. And John, I think a key distinction between some of these wearables that that you mentioned is that almost all of the wearables that exist today just read. They just track. They tell you, you know, things that are happening, but they don't change anything. So you can think about us not as just a tracker, but we read and kind of write. So when we see that a problem, that there is a problem, we can also fix that problem, or at least try to, as opposed to telling you, hey, you should, you know, go for a run, or you should do this. You know, we try to meet people where they are and be as simple as a pill. And a pill doesn't judge you. A pill doesn't tell you anything. It does the thing passively for you to get you into the state that you want to be in.
I'm returning the Apple Watch. It can't do the workout for me. How lame is that?
Right? Wow. So lazy.
Interesting stuff. Very, very cool. I look forward to seeing the device, what it looks like. I almost wonder if you'd partner with other people. There are so many cool startups in hardware and brain interfaces. I mentioned Muse, Neurosity is another one. But this app store for the brain concept, wow. And then ideally with some sort of private application of AI to understand my brain. And I'm sure there's many similarities to everybody's. And then there's some similarities in different types of people whose brains work similarly. And then there's some stuff that's just weird and way off the charts for every individual where there's our uniqueness. But being able to handle that, manage that, and treat that in some level is very, very cool. David, I don't think you got the off switch yet, do you? I mean, like sometimes you just want to turn the switch off and then wake me up in 10 hours and I'll deal with life at that point.
Not quite. I like to think of the technologies we create as guiding or directing the brain. It gives an individual, a user, more control over themselves than they would have otherwise. So you know, sometimes we like to think to ourselves, well, great if I just had the willpower to just work a little harder, do something more. But what if there was a device you could wear that gives you that willpower? That's what we're trying to enable.
You know, there's so much, I'm going to preach to the choir a second here, which is stupid, but there's so much potential for a device that, as Meredith, you said, is not just read, but also write. We give drugs to people who have anxiety, right? And it calms them down and it has side effects. And sometimes their affect, their emotions just flatline. I know somebody very, very well, very closely, who has had some schizophrenic episodes. And so he has to have treatment for that in the form of pharmaceuticals. And that has almost destroyed his personality and destroyed his ability to be a functioning spouse and father. And obviously, this is super futuristic. But if you can come up with something that does that non-invasively and not and very, very intelligently, selectively doing only the things that are required for the condition, and not just totally obliterating somebody's personality or willpower or motivation or other things like that. That's huge. And I'm not even getting into addiction issues where people are addicted to certain feelings or drugs or different things that they get, and being able to address those. The potential, maybe many years, even decades down the road, is incalculable.
We agree, and certainly hope so. You know, the way that chemicals work means that they have to go through your entire body to be able to hit its target, which is why there are off-target effects. And with L-Mind, we're interfacing with the brain and the nervous system directly, and we don't have to go through the bloodstream, so we don't have any of those off-target effects. And it makes, you know, improving your health something easy, low effort, and without compromise. You know, with a drug, we are deciding, okay, I'm going to take allergy medication, but I know that I'm going to get groggy. You know, you shouldn't have to make that trade-off.
If I could add, furthermore, we're all different. When you take a drug, it is like a one pill fits all type of solution. That's not actually how humans work. We are all unique. And so there's an aspect of tailoring and customizing, you know, the neuromodulation, brain modifications we're trying to do in order to help someone in some way that really tailors the effect and minimizes those side effects.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, both, for your time. I really do appreciate it. Super interesting. I look forward to seeing the device at some point and hearing more about its effectiveness.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks, John.